Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
It is in the 70s. It is starting to feel glorious, although we're not quite to summer. But you will know that we're headed there from the iconic scent of barbecue all over your neighborhood, the streets of Boston, wherever you are this weekend. It is Memorial Day coming up, and it's an important holiday. It's a serious holiday, but it's also a weekend when people get together. They join as family, they celebrate, they observe the moment, and they prepare for summer. Ron Swanson from NBC's show Parks and Recreation has some very strong thoughts on what food should be served at such gatherings.
Barbecues should be about one thing, good shared meat.
Pretty straightforward there, and we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to dive into what exactly is a barbecue. Is that a generic term? Is that a specific term? What should you put on your grill this weekend? Can a veggie make it? Many questions. We have so many questions, and joining us now in studio, Chef Joe Gatto, who is the host of From Scratch and has been with us regularly over the last couple of years. But it's been COVID, so it's so great to see you here in studio, too.
Woohoo!
I know, hello.
I mean, is this awesome or what? We're actually looking at each other.
I know. And
this is fantastic.
And I want to let listeners in on a little secret, because not only are we looking at each other, but I am wildly distracted because it is 11:45. I am hungry, and you brought sliders, which are sitting on a plate in front of us, and we're not going to eat them for a few minutes, and it is torture.
Awesome.
That they're sitting here.
That was the whole idea.
That's right.
I wanted to torture you the entire interview.
That's right. So I want to back up a little bit and ask you, you're a family guy. Everything about how you cook, how you teach people to cook seems so rooted in family. Did you cook out a lot as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we couldn't wait. And my big thing was I always helped my mom. So it was always me and my mom in the kitchen preparing the steak teriyaki or just even like decorating the backyard. It was always such an event. And I looked forward to those so much, seeing all my cousins, and my Uncle Al would be flipping burgers, like, and he made the best burger. He'd grind everything himself. So I have these really strong memories. And now, you know, we recreate them at my house, and my kids jump in and they help, and they have their friends over, and people are running around and stuffing their face. That's like my favorite thing in the world, is to feed people and just have everyone enjoy it and be together.
And what for you, from your childhood, looking back, what was the most iconic outdoor cookout food?
Oh, you're looking at it.
Oh, dude, it's the slider, the burger.
Oh,
here?
Yeah, you make your own grind. You know, like when we do parties, you know, I'll make my own cheese, I'll make the rolls. Like, I'll go, that to me is the quintessential food. And I love it as a slider, as opposed to like a big burger. Because I always found that burgers, you always see half-eaten burgers left over at a party, but sliders, you never see left over.
So what constitutes a slider? How do we tell the difference between a slider
and a burger? I mean, it's like a 3-ounce patty on a small
bun. Well, wait a minute. What's a burger then?
Like, those are usually 4 or 5. You know, those are getting bigger.
It's not like
18
ounces.
No. I mean, you can do a Beast Burger, you know, and just watch people struggle and laugh. I mean, I have no problem with that. You know, you can get 6-8-ounce burgers. Mm-hmm. It really depends on what you're doing. I like the little guys, especially because I do them on this piece of equipment I have called a baking steel.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's my friend Andrus's company. And it's designed for pizzas, so it's a piece of steel that goes onto your grill or in your oven, wherever you put it. And you can get that temperature up 600-700 degrees. And when you're caramelizing—
Because the steel heats
up. And the steel retains that heat, as opposed to like a stone. When you slide on a pizza, the stone's going to drop temperature, and you're not going to get that beautiful leoparding on the bottom of your pizza, as opposed to a piece of steel that keeps that temperature so you get that beautiful crispy crust all leoparded on the bottom of pizza. But if you put it on your grill and crank it and do sliders or steaks, I smash mine. Mm-hmm. Like an old school kind of like diner.
Like hammer?
Yeah. I'm just wailing away on them. Like a big spatula.
Okay.
And you squish them down just as you put them on, not after, mm-hmm. just as you put them on. So what it does is it gives it tons of surface area to caramelize. And we know caramelization is the key. Get that nice brown crust, bring the sugars to the surface, getting that yumminess that we're looking for. And then you flip them and like these right here, little caramelized onion, little American cheese. Nice, yes. Nice. American cheese, because it rocks on a slider. And then a nice fluffy bun. And to me, that and like a beer, I mean, I'm there all day.
Fantastic. All right, so we're going to try these here. I'm
okay.
Gonna move away from the mic for a minute so I can get mine off my plate. You can get yours,
yep,
too.
Yep, you go first.
I'm pretty excited I get to go first. All right, so I'm going to take a bite. And while I take a bite, you're going to say, you said a minute ago you will make your own cheese. You make your own American cheese?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of ways to make all different kinds of cheese. I mean, one of the cheeses that we love to do is mozzarella, which
oh my
is...
God, this is so good. Sorry, go ahead.
See, these are the moments that I love. Mm-hmm. This is why I do what I do. And like tonight, I'm teaching a big pizza class, and we're going to make mozzarella because it's not that hard. You know, we're taking curd, we're using salted hot water, and we're pulling it. And you get this velvety, gorgeous cheese. When you're making cheese at home, it's an adventure, and it's fun, and you can customize it.
So what constitutes American cheese?
American cheese is really Colby.
Oh,
and
okay.
So you can melt that down and use a gelatin and then add in like smoked Gouda, mm-hmm, and melt that down. And what you'll get is something you can spread on like a sheet pan with parchment. You spread it out super thin, let it set, and then you have smoked Gouda American cheese, and you can cut it into slices and use that.
Holy shit.
So,
smoky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
I mean,
sounds really good.
Yeah, it's punch yourself in the face good.
Yes.
You know, like, it's
all
ridiculous.
Right.
So I'm going to try
a bite
and see how I did.
You take a bite. This is delicious. So just for folks, they're kind of small square. There's a little bit of a little pickle on there, some cheese. It is a no-nonsense, unfancy, absolutely fabulous miniature burger.
Mm.
And actually, you know, these have been sitting in here for a while, so they're a little cold and they still taste fantastic. So is this a pickle?
Yeah, it's a homemade pickle. It actually came from my wife and I had a little date night on last Saturday just mm-hmm. at the house. You know, why go out? We have me.
Yeah.
And one of her favorite things, and she asked for it, was chicken satay.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a chicken satay, and there's a thing called a jod, which is like a pickled vegetable that goes over the top. So you get that brightness with that richness of the peanut sauce. It just plays, you know, every dish should just have balance, like relationships, like life. Balance is the most important thing. And I had the ajad, which is perfect little pickled vegetable. So that cuts through that nice beefiness,
yep,
and brightens it up a bit. And that really helps you because you have rich onions, rich beef, the cheese, which should be creamy, and then that brightness just hits you. So you end up eating like four or five of them,
right?
And it's not a bad deal.
So the team is very excited about the pickle factor here. So we have a couple follow-up questions on the pickle for you. And, of course, I'm going to eat another bite while
of course.
To them. So the two questions – well, one is a comment. Marquise in the control room said that he could feel the love in the pickle. So a nod to you.
Oh, come on.
You could taste the love in the pickle. Yeah. And so the question is dill versus bread and butter pickle.
I mean, I always think that's a choice. Like, and for me, when I'm pickling, it's really like, how's my day going? Yeah. Do I feel sweet? Do I feel a little spicy? Because if I'm feeling spicy, I might throw some jalapenos in there.
Ooh.
Right? And like, you can pickle like all different. We pickle carrots, we pickle peppers, we pickle onions. Onions is a big thing we pickle a lot at the house because we do a lot of authentic Mexican. And mm-hmm. that, again, those deep, earthy flavors with that brightness. That's what gives your mouth that, like, dance,
that full
you know?
Yeah,
yeah, it's like not yeah. just one note. You can't stop getting a bite. And then if you add a little spice in there, your mouth's just totally like, this is exactly what I needed right now.
Okay, so we're going to hit the grill now for a little while, and we're going to do a quick lightning round first.
Okay.
All right. For a beginner, best meat to cook on the grill?
I would say if you're doing, like, ribeyes or New York strips. Those
steak.
Those are really easy to do. They're all about high temp. One of the things that when I teach a steakhouse class, which, you know, I do at a lot of the like resident hotels in the seaport, I work with a lot of them and they always reach out to me to do classes. So one of them I love to do is because they have these big grills for their parties out there and no one uses them. So the whole idea is you have to heat that grill up for at least 10 minutes.
Okay. So you got to get good and hot.
You got to get it super hot, right? And you want your steak out of the fridge for 20 minutes, a half hour. You want it rested. You want it to salt before you're putting it on. You don't just salt and then put it on because the salt's going to fall off. But you also want to salt it because it's almost like it's going to go all the way through osmosis. It's going to get deep into that and really give you a beautiful, like, yummy crust. So I would say,
so
like,
steak.
Yeah, steak's a great one. Chicken's really easy on the grill. You know, just
no, it's not.
Oh, come on.
No, chicken is not easy on the grill. You can't tell if it's, I mean, I like chicken on the
grill. Right,
right. You can't tell if it's cooked. You don't know how long it's going to take. You can never get enough seasoning in there, so it's not a little bit bland.
Oh, yeah. Brine your chicken.
Okay.
Always brine your chicken, even if it's just simple salt,
what does it mean to
sugar.
Brine it? There we go.
Yeah, it's salt. It's a salt base. And what it does, what a brine does is it's basically a salt solution that will penetrate all the way through. Mm-hmm. It's not like a marinade that's acid-based.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to penetrate all the way through and through osmosis because it's semi-permeable cell walls down there. It's going to take the water out, and it's going to replace it with your flavored water. So if you add a little lemon and a little garlic, you're going to get...
It's going to soak in.
Yeah, and if you're trying to cook chicken, one of the things I've taught people over the years, works with steak as well, is take a thermometer, like a digital thermometer, stick it in the side, not at the top, so you see the temperature of the chicken. You're going to pull, I like to pull it at like 158, so it has, you know, continuation
so
cooking.
So we'll continue to cook
right,
after
so 155, 158. And then when you pull it out, poke it, because you know it's the right temperature.
Okay.
Poke it. Do that every time for, I don't know, 10 or 12 times, however many times you cook chicken.
Yep.
And then guess what? Next time it's on the
You'll
the grill.
Be able to tell.
Right.
Perfect. Okay, so now I want to move into vegetables. And what I want you to do is give me a menu I could serve that includes cooking something on an open flame that has no meat in it.
Okay, here we go. All right.
Let's do this.
Just did this Saturday night.
Good.
My wife loves vegetables, doesn't eat meat really. So I made black bean burgers.
Okay.
Super easy, right? Black bean, you can kind of add whatever you want. But
what did you add?
I did black beans, and then I did a little cheese. I did a little, like, I took tomatoes and food processed that with a little Italian seasoning.
Mm.
Like, it was really unctuous and just yummy. And you cook it just like a burger because you add a little breadcrumb, and you can make that gluten-free, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you flour it or anything. And I do that right on the baking steel.
Okay.
And if don't do it on the grill grates.
Put it on some kind of sheet.
Right.
That
so,
heats.
Or if you have, you know, a cast iron, put it right on the grill.
Okay.
And instead of buns, because she doesn't really do gluten, I did portobello mushrooms.
Excellent.
That I had marinated in lemon and garlic overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dried them off really well and I seared those right
like
on the
a
baking
steel.
Exactly. Just like a whole cap.
Yeah.
And those were the buns.
Great. And what'd you serve as a side?
So we didn't do a side because we had done the satay, but one of the side dishes that I love to do that, because people always put salads out, which never seem to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of sitting there and everyone's like, nah, I'm going to pass. But one of the things we do, and I do it for parties at home, is a grilled roasted vegetable salad.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
So you do peppers, onions, asparagus, Brussels, right? And you toss them in a little olive oil, salt, pepper, garlic, everything you want. And then you roast them all on the grill. So you get that beautiful char. You put them all in a big bowl, toss it with like a lemon, garlic, vinaigrette, any kind of vinaigrette you want. So it's bright. Serve that. It will be gone.
All
Your
right.
party will be a rock star hit.
That I would eat all of that.
Yes.
That sounds really good.
That's exactly what happens. It's super good.
All right. In our last half a minute or so, what about people who, they live in an apartment, they can't get to a park where there might be a public grill. How do you create that cookout vibe that way?
Yeah. I mean, when you're stuck inside, one of the big things is you still have flame. You still have a broiler, which is like an upside down grill. You still have an oven and you still have burners. So you can't smoke a brisket, but you could take that pork shoulder, right, do it in a slow cooker, and then finish it on the stovetop by searing it. Like once you pull it, you sear it in a little like nonstick, and you get that crunchiness. So you can really create these things in slow cookers, in your oven. You know, it's really easy to plan for. You just have to figure out, you don't go into it last minute saying, I want to make a brisket and I'm stuck indoors.
Right.
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 You know, you
right.
think it through. You make a chicken dish and then... You know, you're rock and roll and, you know, always make friends with people that have smokers.
There you go. Hey, it is so great to have you. That is Joe Gatto, chef and host of From Scratch. Appreciate you being here.
I love being here. So good seeing you.
You too. And the slider was delicious. Really
Thank
loved it.
You.